You're listening to an exclusive soundbite series brought to you by Wired for Wonder, a proud innovation by CommBank and The Moment HQ. Prepare yourself as we take you on a mini journey to reignite your curiosity, foster wonderment, and send creativity bustling through your veins.
Hello and welcome to the Wired for Wonder and The Moment HQ soundbite series. I'm your host, Monica Cade. Today joining me is Lynn Gribble. She is the founder of Talking Trends, a consultancy specialising in doing business differently. In business, it's easy to get stuck in your own way of doing things, and Talking Trends focuses on new and emerging ways of creating solutions that fit your business and your people. More recently, with a number of Australia's top corporates, Lynn has started a focused revolution to stop multitasking and focus on just one thing at a time, with some amazing results. So let's find out more. Hi, Lynn. Thanks for joining me.
No problem at all.
Now, your passion area is about debunking this multitasking myth. What is it that drives you so much about this topic?
I meet many people after I've given a training, or perhaps it's through coaching, or maybe it's through a keynote, and they come and they talk to me about, you know, I want to do this, but I'm really tired, I'm really under pressure, there's already so much on my desk. And so I started to look at what was going on and why people were experiencing this. And then I started to talk to people and they were saying things like, I've stopped drinking alcohol, I'm trying to go to bed earlier. And they'd come up with all these really interesting ways to try and address how they were feeling. But the research actually shows that it's actually multitasking that's impacting us, because it's the fact that they're trying to talk on the phone at the same time that they're trying to spend time with their child, or that they're answering emails while they're trying to have a conversation with someone else. And the research is really compelling that our brains actually can't do that. So you might be able to listen to music and cook. You might be able to do a number of things concurrently, but there's some things that just don't go so well together. And when I started to help people to understand these things that don't go so well together, they were saying things like, my mind is clearer and I'm able to get more done in the day, and I go home feeling more energized and I'm not as tired, and I can go back to enjoying my glass of wine at night, or, you know, sitting and watching some more TV. And so I realized that we often don't ask for help in all the right places, and that it's something as simple as just being able to recognize what our brains can physically do. And once we start to look at those things, then the possibilities are endless. We need, more than anything at the moment, great thinkers. People are going and saying, I'm the person who can think and solve this problem. I can, you know, help to change what's happening in this particular area. The challenge is that if they're not giving their thinking to that in a focused manner, if they're distracted by the phone or halfway through the thought they get distracted by something else, then the chances of that thinking being innovative, creative, and calling upon everything that they have to offer is largely reduced. The research tells us that it could be the equivalent to drinking a bottle of wine and then expecting to be able to think clearly. So, you know, when we look at that, when we look at the hit on IQ, you know, so again, the research says could be as much as 10 percentage points off your IQ. I don't know. I look at myself and I go, I don't know that I can afford to knock 10 percentage points straight off the top. I need everything I've got to be able to bring who I am and what I am to the problems that we face. So it's really important that, you know, people understand what can be done simultaneously and what can't be.
It's interesting, especially as women, you know, oh, we're multitaskers and we can do all that. And yet it's not conducive to our creativity and to our productivity either. So what would you suggest for some of the listeners as one of the first steps that they could take to, you know, start focusing more on one thing?
The first thing is to recognize how you can be a slave to something like your mobile phone, or how easily you are distracted. You know, many years ago, we were raised in families where you were told there's no TV till you finish this. You sat down and you just ate your dinner. If the phone rang during dinner, you didn't get up to answer it. You finished your dinner and then you collected the phone. You actually did put things into compartmentalized areas. So the first thing that people can do is recognize that if you're driving, the task at hand is to drive. If you are doing your emails, the task at hand is to do your emails. If you're in a meeting, that is the task at hand. So actually starting to recognize what's the thing I'm doing, and I'm doing this even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes, and then stop and then do the next thing. But, you know, as adults, we're possibly able to do something for anywhere, you know, hour, maybe 2 hours without having to take a break. About 2 hours is the point when it's a good time to make sure you do something differently. Mm-hmm. But just recognizing that whatever the activity is that you're doing, just do that activity.
Mm.
Put the phone down, turn your email off if you're writing something, because, you know, largely, if it's an emergency, you're going to know about it.
Mm, that's so true, isn't it? Because so often that could be the little thing where we say, oh, but I'll just keep my phone on me just in case, and then dot, dot, dot. And yet a lot of the time we don't think that if it was a real emergency, you know, the information finds us regardless.
It's sort of a fascinating thing because we've become both the receiver and the user of the information. So I'm the mother of a child who has anaphylaxis. And so, you know, I get the need to be able to be contacted. But it's really interesting when I actually say to somebody, I'm going to go and give this talk now. For 15 minutes, could you have my phone? And can you manage that for 15 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to do this now, and so this needs to be managed this way for this 15 minutes. I've even now set my phone up that the only person who can contact me if I'm actually doing, you know, concentrated work is actually my daughter's school or my daughter. So I won't get another call if I'm doing something that's concentrated work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you can use the technology to do this in the right way, as opposed to just being always on and always available. You know, many years ago, Australia introduced the 8-hour, you know, we have a holiday for it in October, you know, 8 hours of work, 8 hours of rest, 8 hours of play.
Yeah.
And people aren't getting that rest. They're not getting that play because they're always on.
Yeah.
You know, it's your body's in hyper alert all the time. Think how tiring that is for your adrenal system, for your mind. So it's just a case of saying, how am I going to get the focus of just this one thing?
Yeah, exactly right. And it's interesting, I was even thinking about this morning, you know, how quickly before we would go to our jobs and we wouldn't be checking our emails until we got to work, or, you know, but now because they are on our smartphones and they're accessible at every moment, the first thing I know I've caught myself out, I have to be honest, I will check my phone just to see if there's anything urgent that needs attention. And really, it doesn't need that attention at that point in my day. But it's interesting how subtly the smartphones rule our lives.
I think what happens is we fall into a habit. So it's without recognizing, it's the habit that perhaps you're using your mobile phone to wake you up in the morning.
Mm.
So you turn off the alarm, or you log onto your phone because you've woken up before the alarm. And then because that's in your hand, you go, well, will I check my mail, or will I check my Facebook or whatever? And the stats are alarming on Facebook. You know, something upwards of over a day a week is being allocated to being on social media. So that's a day a week that you're not actually connecting with the rest of your world. That is being out with nature, being with your family, being with your large effort friends, the people that you actually know and engage with and that are supporting you and being part of your life, rather than actually image crafting, you know, here's my dinner. What would happen if you'd actually ate that dinner and tasted it? You know, I do some work on mindfulness and people actually go, wow, I've never tasted chocolate like that before.
Mm.
And I go, so we have an obesity problem. It's really simple. How many people are not really tasting their food because they're watching TV at the same time or they're on their phones at the same time? You know, it's just that if you put a whole biscuit into your mouth, you don't taste it.
Yeah.
Same way as if you savour. And people talk about this, but what's really missing is the really concrete why it's occurring. So there's lots of what's occurring, but not why. And what I find is that when people actually say things, you know, to somebody like, would you really turn up to this meeting drunk? And they go, no.
Yeah.
And it's not said to shock people. I go, well, if this meeting's really valuable, how about we just spend 10 minutes and make it really valuable instead of 30 minutes where you're on your phone, you know, I'm checking messages. This is our time for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Let's get it done. And then, you know, if you're really worried about something coming in, let's take a break in 15 minutes or half an hour. Everybody go check their phones, deal with what you need to do for 10 minutes, and then come back and let's do it. People are so much more productive. Mm. You can start slicing time off. Even 15 minutes off a meeting is an enormous amount to recapture if you have two or three meetings in a day, just because people are not saying, sorry, I phased out for a minute. Mm. How often do you hear that? I phased out for a minute. Oh, you know, and we do that even when we're not multitasking. So when we're multitasking, no chance, you know. And we try and catch up, and then we find that we're not really part of that conversation or part of that decision making. We're making it up and we're working off the best that we can create in our mind, rather than being really in this direct moment where we're saying, okay, what's the problem? Let me think about it. You know, then I'll often say to people, let me go away and let me just percolate that in the back of my mind. So here's my thinking now. Let me sleep on it. Let me percolate it away in the back of my mind, because my mind will think about it while I'm doing other things today, no matter how focused I am.
Mm-hmm.
And then tomorrow I'll be able to give you some really good thinking on it, and, you know, an extra 10 minutes tomorrow rather than sitting around for an hour now.
Yeah, that's so brilliant. I love all the information like we've just discussed so much, because it's given the listeners quite a few little tools to go away and things that they can apply to their lives immediately. And if anyone is a bit resistant or doesn't believe that this actually works, just sit down and have your dinner tonight with no interruptions. And like you mentioned, taste each mouthful, like put the fork down between mouthfuls. And the experience is just electric if you're not used to doing that. So before we finish up, I'd love to ask you, what do you love about Wired for Wonder?
Again, it's about taking that time. So being at Wired for Wonder is that stopping and wondering, stopping and engaging for two whole days or a whole day or however long you're there. But this is some of the best minds, some of the newest thinking, some of the most creative things, amazing connections, and just taking the time to do that is your own time to regenerate and rejuvenate your own thinking. And I don't think that we get enough of that in the world. And so the opportunity to be with people who are inspired and engaged and looking and searching and wondering, I think that, you know, that's just an amazing opportunity for everybody.
It is. Thank you so much for chatting with us, Lynn. It was a real pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.